If you would like to follow along with the text this morning, it is there in your bulletin. It's on the bottom of that right-hand page. That's what we'll be looking at this morning. Family and friends of Don C. Greece, the Scriptures speak to us about the resurrection of the dead. It's very clear in the Scriptures that every man will rise from the dead. Mentioned this morning with regards to those that die, every person is going to live forever. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but every individual from Adam until the last person that is born into this world lives forever. We don't hear much about that, but the Lord creates the soul immortal. The Scriptures, there's never a question in God's Word about people living forever. It simply states it clearly that every man is going to live forever. The question is the location. One is going to be in heaven and one is going to be in hell. And there are only two locations. Those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the one given to redeem us from all of our sin and misery, are going to be in glory. They are going to be covered and clothed with the glory of Jesus Christ. Those who do not trust in Jesus Christ are going to go to hell. And they will rise, their bodies will come up out of the graves as well and be joined to their proper souls, but only then to be cast into the lake of fire forever and to suffer the just judgment of God against their sins. That's sobering. And if you read the Scriptures, you have got to see it there. We don't like to speak about that today. It turns people off. Well, you know what turns me off is when you don't tell people the truth. It's a lie not to tell people that if you don't trust in Christ, you're going to hell. There is no other Messiah. God gave one, and His name is Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. There is one way of salvation. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He is our hope. He is the hope of the nations. He is the hope of redemption. He is the hope of reconciliation. He is the hope of forgiveness. He is the hope of cleansing. He is the hope of everlasting life. He is our all in all. And when you have Him, you have all that is necessary unto salvation. You need look no further than Jesus Christ. All of Scripture points to Him. All of the creation. You know, we go out into this world and we see the beauty and the wonder of God. You think about a rainbow. You think about the fall of the year and the changing of the leaves. Think about a spring, summer, the spring time of the year where the rain begins to get warm and the flowers begin to bloom. Think about the corn that's all around us that begins to sprout. And one seed produces a stalk that grows up that produces all kinds of kernels that are on those cobs. And the wonder of all of that points us to God. Everything in creation, for of Him and through Him and to Him, are all things. To God be the glory. God has not left Himself without a witness. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows forth His handiwork, and day after day utters speech, and night after night reveals knowledge, and there is no speech or language where that line has not went out. It's went out to the ends of the earth. And every man sees it. Now, those who have been born again, born of the Spirit of God, raised up to newness of life, by the working of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Gospel, glory in God's creation, wonder in God's creation, those that don't suppress the truth and talk about evolution, and a Big Bang theory, and how there is no God. So those that speak that way, maybe some of you here, you have no hope. You have no hope in death. You have no hope to see Don C. ever again. You absolutely have no hope. The hope is in Jesus Christ. And as I said, everything in the Word of God and in the creation points to the glory of God. And you must see it. And you must run to Christ if you will have hope. Paul, in dealing with the Thessalonians, is dealing with this aspect of hope. And they were wondering what was going on with loved ones who died believing in Jesus Christ. What happens to them? Where do they go? We put the body into the ground. What happens to the soul? The scripture says to be absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord immediately. When the soul departs, the body dies, even as James has said, that the body without the spirit is dead. That soul departs to be with the Lord. You remember the thief on the cross. And Jesus said to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." That means today. That's the construction of the Greek text. It's a near demonstrative. Today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonder. What a glory. Paul spoke about that in Philippians 1. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better than being here. But if you're here, it's necessary, it's needful for him to be here to instruct the people of God. So here he is instructing the church in Thessalonica, giving them hope. And this is it. This is the point. The hope and the antidote against anxiety and depression and discouragement with the death of a loved one is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he tells them, "I don't want you to be ignorant." The Greek term means agnostic. He doesn't want you to be one who doesn't have the understanding of what's going to take place with those who die in Christ. You need to know. The Bible teaches it. It's clear from Genesis to Revelation what happens to those who die in Christ. So there is no reason for you to be hopeless. There's no reason for you to have excessive anxiety or depression or discouragement or mourning over the death of a loved one. Now, there's everything right about mourning for our loved ones. And the point of the Apostle Paul here is not to say that mourning is sin. It's to say that excessive mourning, like the unbelievers, which he calls the Gentiles, is sin. Excessive mourning, going on and crying and weeping and depression and anxiety, so that you're paralyzed, is sin. Because of the hope of the resurrection. It's a gospel reality. It's what Christ has merited for His people. He is the first fruits of our blessed resurrection. So Paul says, don't be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. It's a metaphor, fallen asleep. You came in here and maybe you saw and looked into the casket and you saw Don C. laying there in the casket, his body. And it looks as if he's asleep. When somebody dies, sometimes, and you'll see this in the hospital, and I've been in the hospital when people have died, and you go near and you listen to see if there's a breath. Because you can't tell at that point. Is he sleeping or is he died? Is he gone? Is he left? Is his spirit left his body? So Paul uses that metaphor about sleeping. What he's referring to is death. And he says, those who have fallen asleep, you need to be understanding this so you don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Hope is a wondrous thing. We don't hope in the things that we are, you know, we possess or we see. We hope. Hope is Scripture, is not wishful thinking. Hope in Scripture is a sure confidence of the fulfillment of all that God has promised in His Word. Scripture is clear that God cannot lie. So everything that God has promised in His Word must come to pass. And that is our hope. Jesus Christ is called our hope. Paul says, or the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 6, calls hope the anchor of the soul. Now, you know what an anchor is, and you know what an anchor does. An anchor has a purpose. You go out to your favorite fishing spot, and the wind is blowing, and you shut off your motor. You don't just let it go and drift out back into the middle of the lake. You drop your anchor, so that as the anchor hits the bottom, it holds the boat in place, and then you commence the fishing. So you're not drawn away from your little honey hole there. So it is with faith in Christ. It gives us hope. Faith produces hope in Jesus Christ. And that hope is the anchor of the soul that keeps you from being put adrift by all the paganism, all the humanism, all the worldly philosophy that is all around us. So Paul was teaching them, instructing them. And he is doing the same this morning with us through God's Word. If you believe, if you're one who believes, he said, that Jesus died and rose again, God will bring with Christ, when He returns, those who have died in Jesus. It's a reality. It's a truth. It's the hope, the confident expectation of every believer. So what happens when one dies in Jesus Christ, dies in faith? The soul departs immediately to be with Christ. And I believe the Scriptures teach that there is a temporary housing for the people of God. So we're not disembodied souls. That's unnatural to who we are. Death is unnatural. Death is an enemy. Death is an intrusion into this world. And it's an intrusion, and therefore, because we sin, we die. That's a consequence. Everything you see around us that dies is a consequence of sin. Man's sin. Only man's sin. You see the death of an animal, consequence of man's sin. The whole creation groans with and travails with birth pangs and together until now. The whole of creation, Romans 8, because of man's sin. But as the Apostle Paul says here, that individual is with the Lord and is awaiting glorification. They receive a temporary body, not the glorified body, that's coming in the consummation of all things. So there is one church. The church that Christ has redeemed from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world, a multitude which no man can number. There's one church, one and one only. Old Testament, New Testament have been brought together in one new man, Jesus Christ, who is the true temple. He was the one who was foreshadowed with the old temple in the old covenant. But there's one church. And we recognize that church in these distinctions. The church militant here on this earth, fighting the good fight of faith. Laying hold on eternal life. Working out what God works in. Living according to the truth of God's Word. And the church triumphant. Those who have run the race and fought the good fight and have now passed into glory. It's one church. So those who are in Christ are united together forever in Christ as one body. So we talk about these things, and I refer to people this way as harmful helpers. Harmful, because if you don't know the truth about death, better you just keep your mouth shut. Because it doesn't help. It only hinders. You have got to comfort with the one who has created us, who knows us intimately and knows everything about this world. His understanding is infinite. He created it all. And He's the one only with the authority to speak about death. None of us. Only Him. So if you're not saying what He says in His Word, you're not being helpful. You're distorting. You're perverting the truth. You're pushing away faith in Jesus Christ. You're bringing false doctrine to the mind. Paul tells us to comfort one another with the words of Christ, with the word of Scripture, not with some humanism. So, you are not losing your loved one. There is a temporary absence. Temporary. How long do you think you're going to live? What I like to say about our life is that when we're born, it's like the hourglass turns right side up, and the sand begins to fall. And God has allotted so much sand for each one of us, and none of us know how much that is. But when the last grain drops through, you die. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you die. And understanding that hope, that our life is born as we come into this world, not by chance, or die by chance, You recognize that it's sovereign in God's hand, and you can have comfort and hope in knowing that truth. So, we don't lose a loved one. It's a temporary absence. but it's appointed unto all of us to die as well. Paul says, "This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." And so what Paul is saying here is that Christ is going to return. There is going to be coming the Lord Jesus Christ in such pomp and glory as that no man has ever seen. And He will come with the shout, with the voice of an archangel and a trumpet of God. The trumpet in Scripture is used to awaken people for battle. It was used also to alert people of some kind of a disaster. It was used to alert the Israelites of a gathering together. And this is what you have with the trumpet of God. There is a blowing of the trumpet and a signifying, a recognition that all men are going to hear this trumpet call of God. And the voice of an archangel, clearly the Apostle Paul is saying here, with there are ranks of angels, but there is one specific archangel that is leading the charge of all the other angels. You can see it, can't you? In your mind's eye, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ coming back, riding on a white steed, as the book of Revelation speaks. Coming surrounded by myriad of angels, with the archangel leading the charge, blowing the trumpet. And the dead in Christ will arise. That's the call. Christ's horn, that trumpet, brings them up out of the dead. Just like with Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth out of the grave. And Paul says, and all the saints who have died in faith in Christ are coming back as well. Their bodies will come out of the grave and be united to their proper souls. And the mortal puts on immortality, the corruptible puts on incorruption, and death is swallowed up in life. And those will stand on the earth at last, even as Job says. We will see our Savior. Even me, myself, in this flesh, I will see God. And we will be those that say, "Death, where is your victory? Where's the sting of death? Hades, how have you won? You haven't. It's been swallowed up by life in Jesus Christ." This is what Paul is saying with regards to death and resurrection. Those who are alive, it'll be an instantaneous change. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks about, in the twinkling of an eye will be changed from mortal to immortal. The twinkling of an eye has to do with the amount of time it takes for the light to reflect off the eye. You know how quick that is. They'll be changed. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, and we will ever be with the Lord." What a comfort that is for the believer. We will always be with the Lord. He's with us now. If you're a believer, He's with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He will never depart from you. He's with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ is with His people. But then we will see Him even as we will be knowing Him even as we are known. We'll see Him face to face. Now we see in a glass darkly, then face to face. What will it be like for you when you die? When your funeral is taking place, where will your soul be? Don't put it off. Don't poo-poo it. Don't push me aside. It's coming. Young and old alike. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're only given right now. This is all you have is right now. You don't have tomorrow. You have right now. Each second, each breath, that's all you have. That's all that God has given you from moment to moment. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Don't push this aside. This is serious. This is critical. This is the most serious thing in your life, is to be reconciled with God. To know that when you depart, you're going to be with Christ, that He has covered your sins. What are you going to do with your sins? What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that can make you whole again but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that can reconcile you to the true and living God but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The comfort of the believer is that Christ works in us by His Spirit and gives us that joy of knowing that we are in union with Him. that He has satisfied for all of our sins. Paul says this in the closing. He says, comfort one another with these words. Comfort, parakaleo, to call alongside of somebody. The Holy Spirit is called the paraclete. He's the one who brings comfort. He comes alongside of us. He dwells in us. He speaks to us through the Word. And He brings comfort of the Word. For the believer, the comfort is God's Word. To hear the voice of God through His Word. To hear Christ say, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. To hear Jesus say, come to me and I will give you rest. To hear the Scriptures say that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God through Jesus Christ? Are you one who can legitimately, sincerely, clearly say Merry Christmas because you are trusting in the sovereign Savior Jesus Christ? That's the only hump, that's the only comfort, that's the only hope that you can have. As the Apostle Paul would say, I beseech you on behalf of God to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't leave here today unless you know that you are truly trusting in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there is no hope without Him. This is what Paul teaches the Thessalonians. This is what he teaches us this morning. Hope in Jesus. Because only hope in Him will never disappoint. Only hope in Him will reconcile. Only hope in Him you will have forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. Shall we pray?